Why should we feel and then release our emotions? Well, on a bicycle, when we ignore balance or we don't release things, what does too much tire pressure do on a bicycle? It blows the tire. What does too much pressure in a pressure cooker do? It blows it up. When we don't release our emotions, it's the same kind of thing. John Gray teaches that what you feel, you can heal. We talked earlier a bit about the connection between stress and illness. Well, Pat Allen, who's author of a book called Art is a Way of Knowing, says that all that is unexpressed is saved in the body. And we know that body cells have memory just as much as the brain cells have memory. All that is unexpressed is saved in the body like a careful scrapbook. The body records what the mind denies. So feeling and releasing your emotions frees your body up as well as your mind up to be in balance and frees you to be able to tune up and to take off, which we will talk about later after the break. Ready to talk about tuning up? So how do you tune up a bicycle?
You take it to a shop.
You take it to a shop. Well, is there anybody here that does it themselves? No? There is. So what do? To tune up a bicycle. You what?
Check the air in the tires.
Well, that I know how to do that, I think. I don't know how to do much. So you check. What else do you check? You check the chain. Check the brakes. You do okay. You align it. You adjust things. You oil things. I heard somebody say. Do you ever have to replace? You grease things, oil things. You replace or repair things. And then you pay attention to where you're going to ride the bike. So you can fine-tune the tune-up. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. That's exactly what we're going to talk about in tuning up. But some of us in life, just like we don't want to deal with tuning up a bike, sometimes I balk at even taking my bike to the shop in the spring or whenever. I don't want to bother. I don't want to take the time. I don't want to take the effort. I don't want to spend the money. All that stuff. So I ride a bike that is unbalanced, and I work harder for where I get, and sometimes I don't go, and all the things we talked about in the beginning. Well, in our lives, what about tuning up our lives? We don't like tuning up our lives any more than we like tuning up a bike. We balk at tune-ups. We take it to the shop. Well, and sometimes we treat it, when we go to the doctor, we treat it like we're taking our bodies to the shop here, fix me, kind of thing. And that has very limited usefulness. Sometimes we balk at tuning up. Some of us don't go to the doctor when we need to because we don't want to find out what they're going to tell us, or we're afraid of what they might tell us, or we think we know what they're going to tell us, so we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear that we need to take care of ourselves better. We don't want to hear that we need to eat better, exercise more, sleep more, stress less, all that stuff. We think we know what we're going to hear, and we don't want to hear it. We're afraid of accepting guilt, blame, shame for our problems. We think that we're going to get blamed. We're afraid of what we're told. Sometimes people think they have cancer, and so they don't want to go to the doctor because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to deal with it. Or some other something or other. Sometimes we don't want to consider changes because we're afraid that if we make changes, things are going to get worse instead of better, whether it's physical changes or emotional or relationship changes. Sometimes just the momentum of life keeps us going. And we have to deal with the momentum, kind of jump off the merry-go-round in order to do some tune-up. Our habits carry us forward. Sometimes it's, I'm fine, thank you, and we don't want to pay attention that anything's off balance. Sometimes we've made decisions early in our lives that keep us going and that we're not even aware of, that we made decisions that I don't take care of myself, or that I don't go to the doctor, or whatever kind of decisions that we made. Sometimes it's, it wouldn't work anyway, why bother? I mean, the list, that list could go on and on and on, why we balk at anything that might say we need to tune up. So why should we? Why should we bother with it? Why should we tune up a bicycle? It'll last longer. What else did I hear? Works better. More comfortable, more efficient. Smoother ride. Lots of reasons to tune up a bicycle. Lots of reasons to tune up our lives. Sarah Ben Brethnock, I'm not sure I said that right, but anyway, in Simple Abundance, says only the heart knows what is working in our lives. The heart is our authentic compass. If we consult her, the heart will tell us if we're headed in the right direction. But the heart also tells us when we've made a wrong turn or when it's time for a U-turn. For a lot of us, this is information we don't want to know. Knowing might mean choice. Choice often means change. And we don't want to deal with change. As you can tell, I like to read a lot of different writers. Natalie Goldberg is another one that I like. And in her book, Writing Down the Bones, she says it's good to know about our terrible selves. Not laud or criticize them, just acknowledge them. Then, out of this knowledge, we are better equipped to make a choice for beauty, kind consideration, and clear truth. We take this choice, or make this choice, with our feet firmly on the ground. We are not running wildly after beauty with fear at our backs. And when we take the time to tune in and to tune up, then we don't have to run away from things. So now it's your turn. What is working in your life? What is not? Is there something moving that shouldn't be? Is there something stuck that should be moving? Is there something broken, torn, leaking? We talked about cleaning a bike. You clean a bike in the spring before you use it, and you clean it after it gets dirty along the trail. There's routine cleaning, and then there's seasonal cleaning. Same in our lives. We clean our homes. We clean our yards. It's fall. We've just, some of us finished, and some of us in the middle, and some of us never started cleaning up our yards from the leaves that fell and all of that. In our lives, things accumulate. And there's seasonal kinds of things that happen in our lives as well. We talked a little while ago about making a container for our emotions. Sometimes we need to make a container for the trash in our lives. How often do we take out the trash at home? Every day, once a week, once a month. What happens when we have a garbage strike? We really notice it. Do we have a garbage strike in our own lives? We need to find a way and make a way to take out the trash in our own lives. Creative expression is wonderful for that. Some people do journaling as a way of taking out the trash on a regular basis. Some people do other kinds of creative expression. Some people, when they weed a garden, think about what are the weeds in their life that need to be pulled. When we water our plants in our homes, do we think about what in our lives needs to be watered? So as we do with a bike, it's helpful to do with our lives. And to clean them up. So I've got some questions. In your life and in your home, but in your life, are there things going on that are no longer useful to you? Are there things that are in your way? And things being not necessarily physical material things, but is there something in the way in your life? Is there something in your life that is no longer meeting your needs? Or is there something that has been neglected that might need some attention, the same way that something on a bicycle might need attention in a tune-up? So we oil a bicycle also. So how do we lubricate our lives? How do we decrease the friction and the conflict in our lives? Well, I think it's helpful to know who we are, to know how we're wired, to know our temperament, as it were. Are you a driver? Are you an amiable? Are you an expressive, an analytical? What's your temperament? What makes you tick? And what makes you different than other people? It's important to know your values, to know what's important to you. It's important to know your strengths and your weaknesses, and to develop your strengths and learn to work around your weaknesses. What is it that makes your life worth living? What is it that makes it worth it for you to get up in the morning? A few years ago, I dealt with a chronic illness, or an illness that turned into a chronic illness, but it was an illness that took me to my knees. And I could hardly get out of bed some days, and literally could hardly walk up the stairs in my own house. And that was devastating for a while after being somebody that climbed mountains and was very active. And I had to ask myself what was important for me in life. And if I could only do one thing in a day, what was that one thing going to be? If I could only do one thing with the rest of my life, what was that one thing going to be? And it was grasping the answers to that that gave me the motivation to keep going and to find the things that I needed to recover and to be well. What is it in your life that gives you the motivation to get up in the morning when you don't feel like getting up, to get going when you don't feel like going, to overcome the obstacles that are in your life? Related to that, connected to that, is the idea of what increases your life force, what decreases your life force. What is it that adds to your life, that gives you energy? What is it that drains your energy away? All of these things can help decrease the friction within us. And then there's the friction out there. Do you work in an environment that fits your temperament, your values, and your strengths? Or are you like a square peg in a round hole, or a round peg in a square hole at your work? What's the friction level there? It's also important to get and keep current in our communication with other people. In the first section, we talked about the personal power pyramid. Well, you get two people with their own personal power pyramids, and if you process what's going on inside of yourself, take kind of a half step backwards and think and tune in for a little bit before you communicate with other people, you are less likely to have friction than otherwise. And if they're doing that also, then even more decreases the friction. And then there's some communication, which is a whole other seminar in itself, about how to mesh the power pyramids together. But some real quick things is to communicate truth in love, to communicate with assertiveness. On one side we have aggressiveness, which is I win, you lose. On the other side we have passive communication, which is I lose, you win, I give. And in the middle we have win-win. I win, you win. Your needs are important and my needs are important. And so those are some things that if we can keep those in mind in terms of communication, that can decrease friction. Then we adjust. What kinds of things do you adjust on the bike? You adjust what? Brake, somebody had said earlier. What else do you adjust on a bike? The gears? The seat level, yes. The handlebars. Lots of things to adjust on a bike. Well, in our life, a lot of times we again balk at making adjustments. We're afraid that we have to do a major overhaul, when often it's just small adjustments. Small changes, tiny changes, can have a big effect. Sometimes just how tight a screw is tightened can make a difference between whether your bike stays together or doesn't, whether it works or doesn't. Sometimes it's something that small in our lives. Insanity, I have heard said, is doing the same things while expecting a different result. Same with a bike, same with our life. Change is the only constant in life. And I'm here to recommend that you choose your changes actively, that you don't sit around and wait for life to bring the changes. Yes, it's going to bring some that are inevitable. And in fact, when there are things that are inevitable, the sooner we can catch a hold of that and go with that flow, the less friction we're going to have in our lives as well. There's another book that I really like called Awakening the Heroes Within by Carol Pearson. And in that, she says, some choices we make consciously, some unconsciously, and some feel more like discoveries than actual choices. Listening with receptive imagination to discover what to do next is one of the most important life skills that we can have. Some people do this in prayer and meditation, some by taking a walk or working in the garden. Many people discover what they think and feel through an art form of some kind. Perhaps they write in a journal, paint, or make pottery. So if we don't know what changes that we need to make, some reflection and introspection can be very helpful. So what if then the bicycle needs major repairs? And what if we discover that our lives need major help, major overhaul? We discover that there's things broken or worn out, or there's decisions we made in our early childhood that don't fit our adult lives. Sometimes we have things in our past that haunts us. Sometimes we have pain in our life now that really hinders us. What helps? I find it helps to eke our way through these kinds of experiences in life. We eke through them by experiencing them, by not only experiencing them, but embracing them, and then creating something with them. We take the scraps that life gives us. We take the dirt that's dumped on us, like the story of the donkey from earlier, and we do something creative with it. If we face it, experience it, embrace it, then we can heal it. Making a memorial to us heals us. Admiring the memorial that we've made helps us to let it go. How do you know when your bike needs more than what you can do for it? You ask an expert, so you read instruction manuals. You get help, maybe, from those around you who know more about it, are more experienced with it. And if that doesn't work, then what? You take it to the shop. You take it to a professional. In our lives, kind of the same way. When we can't turn, only in our lives, sometimes we can't turn to those that are close to us for help. Sometimes they're a significant part of the problem. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. Sometimes we do, but we can't do what we know to do. So then is a time to call on someone for some help. I ran across this in my quote file as I was putting together the outline. This has been around a while. You probably heard it. Thank you for calling the Bonkers Institute. This is a recording. If you're a psychotic killer, put down the knife and press 1. For Oedipus complexes, have your mother help you press 2. For paranoia, make sure no one's watching, then press 3. And for codependency, press 4 if it's okay with everyone else. And people are afraid they're going to get a recording like that when they call my office, sometimes, I think. And here's the commercial for the evening, okay? If you want to call it that. I want to talk a little bit about what psychotherapy is and what it provides. Psychotherapy provides a place for people to bring things that they'd rather not have in their lives and not rather not have to deal with but aren't able to deal with on their own. It provides a presence, a person to be there and to be a witness, as it were, to these things. It provides protection, a safe place and a safe person. It provides permission, permission to have these things in your life, permission to feel, permission to think, back to these monkeys again, permission to see what there is to see, to hear what there is to hear, to feel whatever it is that you feel, permission to say what needs to be said, permission to be who you really are. It also provides potency, power, borrowed power, while you connect with and activate your own power and strength. It provides possibilities when people are afraid there are none, and it provides pathways to access those possibilities. Scott Peck says, "Those who come to psychotherapy are the wisest and most courageous among us. Everyone has problems, but what they often do is to try to pretend that those problems don't exist, or they run away from those problems, or drink them down, or ignore them in some other way. It's only the wiser and braver among us who are willing to submit themselves to the difficult process of self-examination that happens in a psychotherapist's office." End of commercial. You're going to fine-tune the tune-up. What kind of path are you on? What kind of path do you want to ride this bike on? Do you want to ride it on a dirt track? Do you want to ride it up a mountain trail? Do you want to ride it on the Platte River Trail and that's all? Do you want to ride it on the streets? Do you want to do a Ride the Rockies? Do you want to do an Appalachian Trail? You know, Pacific Coast Trail? What do you want to do with this bicycle? Where do you want to take it? Where do you want to go with it? That's going to depend a lot, or determine a lot, what you do in the tune-up. How far do you want to go? The longer your trip, the stronger and better tuned your bike needs to be. And you want to make sure your tires are balanced and your wheels are balanced and all of that. In our lives, the metaphor there is that there's two wheels on a bike. There's home life, work-like life. There's inner life, outer life. There's lots of things that pull us in different directions in life, things that we need to get balanced. So I would ask you, in your life, what are the spokes in your life? What are the things that hold your life up, that give shape to your life? What is absolutely essential? A bicycle, I mean, there's lots of essentials in a bicycle, but without spokes, you're not going to go anywhere. What are the spokes in your life? What are the things that are the essential elements in your life? If you were to draw out a wheel for your work life and a wheel for your home life, would they be the same size? Would one be really big, one be really small? If you were to have, Brian Tracy talks about areas of, I'm going blank on the budget, but it's significant areas in your work life. And he says there's 5, 7, 9, somewhere in there, that every person has, that are skills that they need to have in their work life, and they're different for everybody depending on what you do. If you were to identify those as spokes in your life, what would they be? And in your home life, or your life away from work, what are the essential things? What relationships? What is it that's essential in your life? And if you were to draw those out, how big would they be? How long would each spoke be? Would your wheel be balanced? Would your home life be balanced? Would your work life be balanced? Would your finances, your physical health, your emotional health, your relationships, your creative pursuits, is all those things balanced in your life? In your work, I don't know what responsibilities that you have in your work. You may have some sales and some marketing and some administrative jobs and some people networking kinds of things you do. You may have some interfacing with other people who do similar things, or you may have some reporting up a ladder in your work. You may supervise other people in your work. What are the essential things in your work life? And are they balanced? What are your strengths? What are the long spokes and what are the weak spokes that need to be built up in your life? Now some bicycles have, and I don't, on this one it doesn't look like it, but some bicycles have kind of some support spokes in there. Are there things in your life that support the major spokes in your life? What about the spaces in between the spokes? Is there space in your life? Is there margin in your life, or is your life filled up to the brim? What about the tires, the cushioning? What surrounds your life and cushions it? Is there something in your life that does that? And we could go on and on with each part of the bicycle. I'm sure you could find metaphors for the chain. The handlebars is where, what direction are you going to go? I suppose maybe you would consider it to be something else. And this bike has springs on the front. Is there something in your life that's springy, that cushions you when you bounce around a bit? Is there something that could be put in your life that would provide some springiness, some cushioning? So the handlebars, where do you want to go? What are your dreams and what are your goals in life? James Hillman says the way to true success is to honor your calling. Your calling? To find your purpose, your mission. What are you here on earth for? Becoming co-creators of the world we live in takes great courage. This is the courage it takes to be vulnerable, open, unarmed, oneself, with full consciousness of who you are and what you are doing. This is again from Carol Pearson. And Karen Lawson says, without passion, life is just a series of experiences. Pursue your passion, and you will find success. I like what Nadine Stair says. She says, if I had my life to live over, I'd dare to make more mistakes next time. I'd relax. I'd limber up. I would take fewer things seriously. I would take more chances. I would climb more mountains and swim more rivers. I would eat more ice cream and less beans. I would perhaps have more actual troubles, but I'd have fewer imaginary ones. You see, I'm one of those people who live sensibly and sanely, hour after hour, day after day. Oh, I've had my moments, and if I had my life to live over, I'd have more of them. In fact, I'd try to have nothing else. Just moments, one after the other, instead of living so many years ahead of each day. So when we decide where we want to go, then what? Well, I don't know about you, but I'd rather pull something than push something any day. And so it's important to have a picture in our minds of where we want to go. Otherwise, how are we going to know when we get there? So it's helpful to decide where you want to go and have a picture in your mind. That picture in your mind can help pull you to where you want to go. So write down your goals. Get something visual to represent your goals, and something tangible if you can. Read, look at it, touch it several times every day. And by goals, I'm talking about way far off things. Like if I was going to do a big bike trip, I would have to do a lot of preparatory things. And in our life, many times we have goals that are far off. Imagine yourself experiencing your goals fulfilled. See yourself fulfilling your goals. Whether that goal is a physical health goal, whether it's a work goal, whether it's a personal relationship goal, no matter what kind of a goal that it is, get in mind, what will it look like? What will it feel like? How will you know when you get there? And develop that in your imagination. Again, imagination is more important and it's stronger than facts and then knowledge. So get your imagination in there so it can help pull you towards your goals. And I'm guessing you've got something in your mind right now that would help you do that. As I've been talking about these things, something popped in your head. For most of us, it's helpful to write that down because those kind of thoughts kind of flit in and flit out. So capture it if you can. So once we have the goal in mind, then we're going to take off. once we decide to take off and decide where to go, get started. Don't wait. Anais Nin says dreams pass into the reality of action. From the action stems the dream again, and this interdependence produces the highest form of living. Dream, action, dream, action, dream, action. That's what he's talking about. Beginning is half done. Do it now. The longer you wait, the harder it is to begin. Barbara Schur of Wishcraft says now is the operative word. Everything you put in your way is just a method of putting off the hour when you could actually be doing your dream. You don't need endless time or perfect conditions. Do it now. Do it today. Do it for 20 minutes and watch your heart start beating. Nike says just do it. Luke Skywalker from Star Wars, written by George Lucas, says do or do not. There is no try. But we find ourselves facing resistance again. There is a physics principle at work here. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. The universe is out to get us, is what it seems like sometimes. The more we know about how things work, the more we can work with them. We have internal resistance. We have external resistance. Life itself sometimes seems to resist our changes. Actually, what it does, I think, is that it challenges us so that we can firm up our resolution and we discover how committed we are or are not to our goals. We discover that many times we're ambivalent. We have mixed feelings. Parts of us wants it and part of us doesn't. And at the same time, we're going for it and we're holding back. We are ready for it, and yet we're not ready for it. And it's in this process that we discover what it is we need to do to move towards it and to help the parts of us that are holding back cooperate with the parts of us that are moving forward or ready to move forward. So again, we visualize the result we want, and we ask for the know-how that we need, but we don't wait for all of it to come. We keep going. We don't stop and sit down and wait and plan it all out. What we do is we take one petal at a time. We take one little piece of our trip at a time. Life is a labyrinth, and the path to successful completion of your goals may be filled with blind alleys and dead ends. How do you keep from losing heart? By focusing on the desired outcome. Pat Allen, the Art is a Way of Knowing author, says, I believe we can, any of us, at any time, pick up a paintbrush and create a new fork in the road to travel that may lead us to our authentic home, which is deep within and outward again to our right place in the world. Sometimes we need to find ways to bring out this wisdom that's within ourselves, and art of various kinds is a very effective means of doing that. And then, of course, we're all fearful. None of us want to be, but we are. What's important is to assess the fear for reasonable risk and to feel the fear and do it anyway. If what we're afraid of is going to a dangerous part of town alone at night, there's very much a risk in that. That's not a reasonable risk. But maybe the risk that we're wanting to do is a reasonable one, and we need to sort that out. Sometimes we need to feel the fear and do it anyway, which is a book. There's a book by that title by Susan Jeffers, and that's the topic of the book, is how to determine whether this is something to pay attention to and hold back on, or whether this is something to ignore the fear and move anyway. I was afraid of the ocean waves a month ago in Hawaii. Was that a reasonable fear when I was in the boat? Yes, it was, because I'm not a strong swimmer. That's not a skill that is well developed for me, so it was wise to be in a boat when I was way out in the water. On the shore, no, that was not a reasonable risk. I did not go to the beaches with the riptides and the big, huge, strong waves. I didn't do that. I went to the beaches where the small waves were. So once you make that decision, then you take symbolic risks and you take small risks and build up to bigger risks. Eleanor Roosevelt says, do one thing every day that scares you. And there's a poem that I don't know who the author is called Risks. To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To place your ideas, your dreams before a crowd is to risk their loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. To try is to risk failure. But risks must be taken because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The person who risks nothing does nothing, has nothing, and is nothing. They may avoid suffering and sorrow, but they cannot learn, feel, change, grow, love, or really live. Chained by their certitudes, they are a slave. They have forfeited their freedom. Only a person who risks is free. I don't know the author to that. And as we move through risk and into risk and move towards our goals, we're going to feel unbalanced. We're going to feel out of balance. And we need to continue to tune in and to tune up as we take off and as we keep going. We need to remember the breathing, the gratitude, the stretching, the humor, and we need to pace ourselves. Pacing ourselves allows us to reach our goal and stay balanced. You cannot go farther than your body will take you. We need to pay attention to our physical needs, healthy food, vitamins, water, sleep, exercise, recreation, rejuvenation, keeping body, soul, mind, and spirit together. That prevents us from being beside ourselves. That expression says a lot. When we feel beside ourselves, that's a big clue to rebalance ourselves. Pacing ourselves also increases our stamina, and sometimes having a support group of other people with similar goals or people that we can encourage and they can encourage us can be very important. And then we need to stay on track. Persistence, we keep going. We go one pedal at a time again. Sometimes our goal is so big we need to set intermediate goals and keep that next goal in sight. Sometimes we need to keep the goal and then but yet be flexible on how we get there. I saw this in the Jiffy Lube waiting room not too long ago. A bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. The number one cause of business failure, quitting too soon. Light a candle when you're in a dark night of the soul. Winston Churchill, who is a real expert on dark nights of the soul, says, when you're going through hell, keep going. Bless it, don't curse it, when you reach obstacles and challenges. Stay open to the lessons that will guide you and prepare you for the success that you seek. Brian Tracy teaches that every mistake, every failure is a learning opportunity, is a way to learn what we need to know, which obviously we don't yet know, in order to reach our goals. Another way to express that is take the scraps available to you and create something beautiful and beneficial with them. Stay committed, no turning back. When I was in college, I had the fortunate experience of being registered for my credits in an American college or university and taking 1 year of those credits at a college in Spain. Well, I thought I knew the language. I thought I was prepared for this trip. I got over there. We went to England first. That was fine. I could, you know, communicate with people there all right. You know, a few challenges, but not bad. I landed in Spain, and I was not prepared. I had no idea what I'd gotten myself into. And some of you are laughing. I wonder if you've had similar experiences. I felt like I was a two-year-old. I couldn't understand what people are saying to me. They couldn't understand me. I was ready to turn around and go home. But it was September, and my home ticket, my return ticket back to the States wasn't until May or June. What was I going to do? I was stuck. I had to make it work. I had to figure out how to make it work. And sometimes when we want to give up, we allow ourselves to give up because we can. When we can't give up, when it's not an option and not a possibility, we usually find a way to make it work. And so if we approach things with that attitude and from that viewpoint, that increases our chances of making them work. By the time I came back home, I was dreaming in Spanish. We went through London on the way home. I stopped somebody on a street corner to ask their directions, and they just looked at me with this blank look on my face. And one of the others, my friends that was with me, said, "You're talking in Spanish. You need to talk in English." I didn't know that I wasn't speaking English. So when you have to make it work, more often than not, you can. Marie Curie, the Nobel Prize winner, says it seems that life is not easy for any of us. But what of that? We must believe that we are gifted for something, and that this thing, at whatever cost, must be attained. George Carlin says, "I hope nobody asks me to show them the ropes. I have no idea where they are. Maybe I could pull some strings and find them." And with a bicycle, it's you that's the rider. It's you that pulls it all together. It's you that has the responsibility, which means the ability to respond. It's you that have the ability to make a go of it, to make the bike trip, to take your life where you want it to go. And to be free people, we must assume total responsibility for ourselves. But in so doing, we must possess the capacity to reject the responsibility that is not truly ours. So what is the one thing that you can do now that can help you stay on track with your goals? Are there some ideas that have popped in your mind as you've been listening? Do you want to jot them down so that you can remember them? And then, when we've reached our goals, what's left? Celebrate. We need to celebrate our accomplishments. Good job, yeehaw, well done, yay for you. Reward yourself for a job well done. Thank those that have helped you along the way. Give yourself a break. What is one way you can celebrate a success that you've had in your life? Do you have a success that you have not celebrated, that you have not acknowledged? We all need celebration. "Celebrate the Temporary" is a poem that I like by Clyde Reed. "Celebrate the temporary. Don't wait until tomorrow. Live today. Celebrate the simple things. Enjoy the butterfly. Embrace the snow. Run with the ocean. Delight in the trees or a single lonely flower. Go barefoot in the wet grass. Don't wait until all the problems are solved or all the bills are paid. You will wait forever. Eternity will come and go, and you will still be waiting. Live in the now, with all its problems and its agonies, with its joy and its pain. Celebrate your pain, your despair, your anger. It means you're alive. Look close. Breathe deeper, stand taller. Grieve, and then stop grieving. There is joy and beauty today. It is temporary, here, now, and gone, so celebrate it. While you can, celebrate the temporary." And I thank you for being a wonderful audience, which you have been. And now every time you see a bike, you ride a bike, I hope you will be reminded that life's a bicycle. You can balance your life like you balance a bike. All you have to do is tune in, tune up, and take off. Thank you very much.
Thank you for valuing yourself by investing your time and money in this program. We hope you have gotten some tips, tools, and training for transforming your life. For maximum benefit, you may wish to listen to it repeatedly and complete the workbook. Some people will desire to explore the topic further to take their life to the next level of life balance and peak performance. For you, we've developed the 12-month Life's a Bicycle study course. You'll find it at www.lifesabicycle.com. Thanks again, and remember to tune in, tune up, and take off to balance your life.